You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaken Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaken Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Avila.
And in this episode, we are going to talk about arts and crafts, or what's on crap. It depends on what you, how you view. And Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. And sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. Most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. You know, Amy, I'm a purist, and I know you know this when it comes to the whole arts thing. I'm really not interested in children making crafts. I'm interested in the process, the doing. And I think part of the confusion of this, because people will say I let children do art and I believe the process is more important than product, but then sometimes when I see what they do, the focus is not necessarily on the process, it's on the doing component, producing something. And usually the argument is, well, parents expect the children will bring something home. And do you have that kind of questioning or discussion with your families?
You know, I have a long, you know, I see this as a spectrum. I don't see it as so much black and white. And I know where you are in terms of, you know, being a purist in the process. And I do believe that the process is far more important than the product. And I don't have parents asking for things, but the few things that we do that do have a product that are still very process oriented, the parents are very happy to have. And, you know, there are a couple things that we do every year, and we've been doing for a very long time, and we do them very as process oriented as we can that still end up with a product. And one of those examples that I'll give you, Dan, is we make stepping stones almost every year. We make them every spring, and the children have an opportunity to mix stuff up with us, and they can put whatever they want into them. They can choose whatever shape that they want to make them, and they don't have to make them, but they can make them if they want, and we put them outside in our rock garden out front. We usually do it in the spring, and then the children get to take them in the fall. And one of the things in terms of arts and crafts, and I know we've disagreed on this in the past, is there's a very fine line between art and craft. And if you're very into, you know, as an adult, very into the arts myself, before I was going to go into early childhood, I was looking at art education or art and play therapy as something that I would be interested in. And I've run a lot of art classes for adults and different things to try to get them in everybody back in connection with their inner artist, because I believe that everybody is an artist, and somewhere along the line we lose that for a lot of people. But I do see value in children having real opportunities to be engaged in a process that does eventually come up with a product. Now, do I think this is necessary at age 2? No. But as children are getting older, because, and again, I have children from birth to age 12 in my program, I really value having some of the things that are, you know, teaching them how to use a sewing machine, giving them opportunities to use real tools to make things, so that I think that's an important thing for children to be a part of and to witness.
Yeah, this, I think the, this is exciting because we're going to agree on this.
Yep.
Because and it doesn't mean that I have not done crafts in the past. I totally agree with you that it's almost an evolutional process, that at one point I did this and now I don't do this. And I think part of it, where I'm coming from, is that I am okay if we put out a sewing machine in the classroom, especially if it was an antique one. But if we have a sewing machine in our place, and children come up and they're curious about what that does, and we accidentally push a pedal or a button and it causes the machine to start moving, and then children are going to show curiosity and therefore be involved in it. I'm perfectly okay with that. Where I have difficulty with, and it could be just where I am in my stage of development now, is that when people have children make things that did not originate from the child's interest. So I'm going to take your stepping stones example, because even though I'm not as uncomfortable about your stepping stones because children aren't forced to do it, they don't Right. look alike, they can do whatever they want with them, and that's more acceptable for me than anything. But if a child is not saying, I'd like to make this, then for me it becomes more of an adult activity, an adult initiated experience. And I think where I'm most comfortable about is how often that becomes an adult initiated experience. Does that make any sense?
Yes,
process.
Definitely. And in the beginning of us making stepping stones, it was a, hey, this is, you know, this is something, do you guys want to try this out? But now it's typically, you know, the first time it happened was definitely an adult initiated thing. I think we were given a kit or something, and then I figured out how to do it without a kit. I think Dane was given a kit for his birthday or Christmas or something. But now, Dan, I don't initiate that because the children who were a part of it before, it's one of those things that they ask about. And so the new children that are in our program, the younger children, and this happens a lot because I have, again, I have older children here. The older children will ask to do something that's happened before. And then the younger children will see what the older children are doing. And then they want to make something or, you know, or be a part of it. So I see, you know, where you're coming from in terms of, you know, where it's initiated from. And when you have the realm of ages that I have, a lot of things are initiated by older children that younger children get interested in as well, if that makes sense.
That's true. That's true. Because they're going to stimulate. I noticed when I watch older children play with blocks, it stimulates a behavior in block building that I typically don't see if there aren't older children around. Because they're at a different level, and I love that kind of integration that occurs where an older child is doing something and then the younger child tries to copy that experience, and I have no problem with that. Where I have the difficulty is, and it could be, again, just me, is that if we believe that art essentially is a process, then typically there isn't necessarily a focus on the product at the end. And I'm not suggesting that your stepping stones or whatever is necessarily the focus is on the product. I do believe, though, because you had mentioned earlier that there's a fine line between arts and crafts. I don't see a fine line. I see a really big division between art and crafts. Crafts is definitely a make it something, make something into something, and art is the doing of the process. So I really see that as a division. And I know you and I disagree in terms of, or at least have some difference of opinion on at what age crafts becomes more relevant and that there are some purpose to crafts. But my feeling is that if it's not coming from the child, then it's coming from the adult. And how often that occurs would be whether or not I'm feeling comfortable enough with the craft idea.
Right. And you know, I know we have, you know, a number of differences on this. And my how I thought about this has definitely evolved over time, because before I had my own program, I worked in a center where we did a lot of craft and we did a lot of cute, you know, kind of things. And I was amazing at coming up with, you know, the lesson plans and that type of, you know, and that type of thing. And, you know, we did letter of the week and I had everything corresponding to all the different themes and all of this stuff. You know, but it just, after a while and getting to know children better and really connecting with them, you know, you spend so much time trying to manage children instead of support and, you know, work with them instead of, you know, I don't know the best way to say that, instead of control them, that it was like, okay, so we, you know, we need to do this a little bit different. And, you know, you put paint and things out for them to paint and they're not really interested in painting anything. They're interested in mixing colors or, you know, doing different things with it. You know, they don't want to do this or that. They want to be, you know, covering their whole body in paint or that type of thing, which is, you know, all so important and part of the process. And so, you know, I went from, you know, kind of an extreme end of things to really appreciating what the children were showing me that they needed and wanted to do. And like I said, we don't do a lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff we do now that would still, you know, probably in your eyes be seen more as craft, it's not initiated by me at all. Like this past year, and I know at holiday time is a really easy time to get hung up on some of the crafts and things that are out there for a lot of people. We weren't even going to put up a Christmas tree this last year, but a couple weeks, I think it was actually early in December, a couple of the children came in just like super excited about the fact that they had put up a Christmas tree up at their house and we needed a Christmas tree and they needed things because they wanted to make ornaments for the tree. So we spent a week and a half making ornaments and, you know, them coming up with all kinds of different things that they wanted to do. Again, child, you know, it was child initiated, but they did end up with tangible things as their ornaments that would probably be seen more as craft. But again, it was a child driven initiative for that to happen.
And I'm real comfortable when it's a child driven, you know, if some children wanted a tree and wanted we need to make some decorations or whatever, my first question is, what do you need? You know, what kind of material do you need to make what it is that you want to put on the tree? And then that brings it back to the child's responsibility rather than the adult. And I like that part of what you do with children. You're right. I think what happens is that people during the year when they're working in early childhood programs really do a lot of really cool, what I consider art process experiences. But then when it comes to holiday time, for some reason, something happens to their brain and they go wacko and they start doing all of these crafts. And I think, you know, and that's when I get really uptight about the Halloween pumpkin crafts and the Christmas crafts, and then they move on to Mother's Day crafts and Valentine. They seem to be okay that during a holiday time, they just, again, bring out all of this stuff that was in their past and say, well, let's do this. And I wonder sometimes if it's not because, and I went through this myself when I wondered if you do, when we focus on process, sometimes we wonder whether or not we really are helping the children move forward in their development, because we don't really see a product. So I sometimes wonder if adults evaluate that as, well, I'm not really doing my job. Maybe I ought to add a little craft in here so that we can demonstrate the kids are moving forward in terms of that process. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I do know that at holiday time, the crap comes out in terms of that process.
You know, Dan, I guess I've never seen it or internalized it as not seeing children moving forward. Because, you know, I've seen children do the same kinds of thing over and over again. And I have children for a very long time. I mean, some of the children that I have in my program have been with me for 11 years. And I've been, you know, 11, almost 12 years, because that's how long I've been open with my own program. And so, you know, they don't like to leave. They like to be here. And so I've really gotten to see their growth. And, you know, the process, mm-hmm. even you, when you trust the process and you trust the children and what they're doing, giving them the same materials and access to, you know, to whatever materials that they want in the art center, the progression happens. You know, they might be stuck on the same thing over and over again for a while. And this is one of those things that, you know, I talk about a lot with people, that, you know, children need to do things over and over and over again. And we might be bored with it, but they're not done. When they're done, you'll see change and you'll see different types of progression in their art and what they're doing with things. You know, I have one child who is just... Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's right. I have one child who just, like, is so into, you know, spinning and drawing circles and absolutely loves to use the drill. And I know when he is done investigating that rotation schema that he's got going on right now, then he'll move on to something else. But he's just not done exploring that yet.
Well, and I agree with you, because what's so nice about your program is the fact that you can see that process change. It's still a process, but it evolves and changes, and the repetition helps build on that. I always use the example of, because people would come into my program and I wouldn't have paper on the easel, and they're saying, well, where is the painting that they're going to take home? And I'm saying, well, that might happen, but it doesn't happen very often. And when it does happen, it happens usually later on, because what they really want to do is just put a lot of paint on the easel. They don't care if there's paper on it or not. And they, and if you notice, they start out with a lot of colors of paint, and then they start lowering the number of colors and become more aware of what colors are their favorites, what colors they want to use in terms of the process. And it really does change from the beginning of the year with the easel painting versus the end of the year with that painting. But I still view it as a process. It just changes in terms of what their needs and interests are in their developmental level. And that's what's so exciting about art, I believe, is that it doesn't stay stagnant. It actually changes as we grow and develop, even for adults.
Right.
It does. So when you mentioned earlier that, what do you view as art versus the craft?
Okay, so I think the hard part comes in is that there are, as an adult who partakes in a lot of arts and crafts, I grew up in 4-H. I learned how to use a sewing machine. I was 5 or 6. You know, I do a lot of things for myself that people don't necessarily do themselves. I taught myself how to crochet on YouTube. You know, I learned how to knit when I was younger, when my grandma and my mom tried to teach me, and I didn't do, you know, very well with that. But then later in life, I picked it up again and was able to, you know, catch on to that things. But I grew up doing a lot of woodworking, a lot of, we made homemade candles. We did all kinds of things that were, you know, more product oriented and craft. And this wasn't in my, you know, early childhood years, but being involved in the 4-H program and learning by doing and hands-on with a lot of the craft type thing, the arts and crafts later, it really, a lot of products can have a process to them as well and a very artistic process to them. And I'm really drawn, you know, I still love to paint today myself. I like to have the sewing machine out when the children are there. So if something needs to be fixed, you know, I'll fix it in front of them. A lot of the older children have used the sewing machine to make their own toy food out of felt pieces that they've cut, and then they just kind of, you know, I don't give them a lot of direction with it. Again, I like them to play with the machine and have the process of it. But I see the line very blurred when you get into some of the crafts, and especially as an adult, because a lot of craftsmanship or a lot of crafts that you create are still very artistic and have that process to them, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, it does make sense. And I think part of it is reflecting on the fact that your 4-H experience, and I'm going to guess, how old were you in 4-H?
Well, I started younger than most because my grandmother was in charge of 4-H in the Tri-County area when I was growing up. So I got to tag along when she was involved in, you know, in a lot of different things at a very young age. Most people are starting 4-H probably, you know, 7 or 8 years old. But again, I got to tag along to things at an earlier age.
But generally speaking, if you're 7 or 8, you tend to be, my observation is that children tend to be more interested in an end result than they would be as a preschool. I always use the example when we made or attempted to make cookies, they never made it to the oven because the dough would just be eaten or used in some other process. Where a 7 and 8-year-old spends a lot of time in how many raisins go in that oatmeal cookie and what it looks like. Just, and then partly it's just because of their own developmental stage and interests that they have. And I really see that as a part of that evolution again of where I move from. What I like about what you do is, because I still view it as art, is the fact that the children are generally still in control of what they're doing within certain, you know, limitations, and that's what keeps it at the process. I think where I'm most uncomfortable is not that. Where I'm most uncomfortable is where the direction is made by the adult and what is to happen, how it is to look, and the amount of time that's spent preparing for that craft, where it could be spent in a more valuable time, is what bothers me the most in terms of that the craft item. Because I think part of it is reflective of what children need to know. So with preschool children, I really believe that when it comes from them, when there's a process involved, where there's lots of doing, where there's lots of curiosity, lots of experimenting, is what I consider to be the art. As they grow and move forward, interested more in a result, I keep thinking, I remember making an ashtray for my parents, and neither one of them smoked, but it was just part of what we did, and everybody was making birdhouses, and I remember doing that as a 7 and 8-year-old, and feeling pretty good about what I had made, but the difference comes in what happened before that in terms of development, being able to explore materials, being able to recognize what my strengths and areas of growth are, helped me develop that skill that happened later on in terms of that. Do you think that that is important?
I do. And, you know, just having that, again, like you said, the exposure to materials, the ability to use and, you know, see real tools in action. You know, sometimes I'll sit and I'll knit or I'll crochet at nap time or that kind of thing. So children will see me doing things and, you know, weaving is something that the preschool children love to do too. And just having weaving looms or our fence is a really great place for them to just have experience with different things. And so, you know, typically there are a lot of things that are, you know, closer to the craft spectrum, that's good for them just to have that experience of exposure. Did I lose you, Dan?
You did lose me.
Okay.
we're back.
Okay.
Sorry, we're back. You were talking about the knitting and crocheting during nap and that, so.
Okay, yeah, and I was just saying that, you know, I like to make sure that children have the exposure to see different things in action. So a lot of times, you know, I'll do that at nap time, and they'll see me using the sewing machine. They'll see me using real tools. They'll have an opportunity to do things like weaving on our fence, or we have some weaving looms and different things. So there is the potential of a product with some of those things that are, you know, more on the craft spectrum of things, but there aren't any expectations for that product. But, you know, one of the things that I think people don't do a lot of crafts anymore. You know, we're very, and this is where some of my values come in with making, you know, that I like to expose children to things so that they know that they can and they are capable of doing things themselves. And again, I'm not talking about really young children, but as children are getting older, that they know and have the ability that they can do things themselves, that they don't have to be dependent upon, you know, someone else to make it where they would have to buy everything, where they can fix things themselves and that type of thing. So.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you use real tools around children, and it excites them in that process. But again, the real difference between what you're doing and what I consider craft is the demonstration, the amount of control that adult wants to have. That's where I become real uncomfortable, in terms where everybody is going to be making a scarf, for example, and they've not had any practice with observing and experiencing materials that you would use to make a scarf first, and the fact that a scarf really might not be appropriate for very young children is part of what really needs to be considered in terms of the developmental process. So having the real tools and being able to, even though there might be a potential end result, is not being demanded of the children in terms of that. Does that make sense? It's not really being required in terms of that process?
Yes, definitely. And Dan, one of the things that I do in one of the workshops that I have, and I really try to lay it out for people so that they understand a little bit more when we're talking about giving the children more autonomy in the process, and trusting the process and giving children process-based things, is I have the participants all make a jack-o'-lantern, and I give them all exactly the same pieces, and I show them exactly how to make that jack-o'-lantern and put it together, and we all do this. And then I hang them all up on the wall and I ask them to find their own. And if anybody tries to be creative, I fix their jack-o'-lantern before I hang it on the wall. Because I know there are people out there working in early childhood who fix those projects because they want them all to look alike, or they want them to be that way. And that drives me up the wall. And so when they have it done to them, you know, and they see these, you know, 200 or 300 sometimes jack-o'-lanterns up on the wall, and we talk about, you know, it took you 30 seconds to put that together, but do you know how long it took me to cut out all of those pieces and all of that stuff, and you were bored with it and you didn't want to do it? And then what we do after that is everybody gets blindfolded to finger paint. And the reason I blindfold adults is because adults have a really hard time getting back into the process. So if you're blindfolded when you do it, you still have people trying to do things while their eyes are closed, envisioning a product. But a lot of people really get into the process. And you know, we talk about the major differences between that jack-o'-lantern and blindfolded finger painting, and how that I see my role in facilitating this process, where before, when I was doing all this craft stuff with children, I spent a lot of time prepping and I spent a lot of time doing. When we move on to the finger painting and giving children an opportunity to do resources, my job isn't prepping so much anymore, other than to make sure that I've shopped and make sure I have a well-stocked area of materials for them. My job is to get them what they need when they need it and to clean up later. And it's just a shift time and what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our session, and even though Amy and I might disagree a little on what is important in terms of crafts, we really do agree on one thing, that it really is a process, and developing that process changes as children grow. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com. Or Amy at?
You can reach me at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Remember, it's jack-o'-lantern time, and you don't need to make jack-o'-lanterns with children. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.